From Sacramento, the Bishop's Radio Hour with Bob Dunning. Focusing on today's issues in the context of gospel values. Now, here's Bob Dunning on Relevant Radio.
That's me. Welcome to you on this beautiful day the Lord has made. Appreciate you all being with us on the Bishop's Hour. And Jacqueline Aguilar joins us. Did I pronounce that correctly?
Correct. Thank you, Bob. Thank you for having me.
Our Respect Life Coordinator in the Diocese of Sacramento. You've been here all of, 20 years now?
No, this is just over a month.
Just over a month. Well, I was close. Good to have you with us.
Thank you.
You're still smiling.
That's right.
So must be fitting you well.
That's right. God's work, for sure.
Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed. What were you doing? I know I've asked you this question before, but we always have new listeners. What were you doing before you came here?
Oh, sure. I still am a part of Center for Restorative Justice Works, mm-hmm. and we work with families who haven't been impacted by the criminal justice system.
Right.
So the program that I coordinate is Get on the Bus. So families have opportunity to meet their loved ones and spend time with them after some families have been many, many years apart.
Tremendous program.
Yes, it is. It's a great impact for the family to, again, start that conversation and have time
kids
together.
Of people who are incarcerated. And actually take them to the prison, sometimes from miles away.
That's right. Sometimes we meet here at the Pastoral Center. It can be as early as 1 o'clock in the morning to get to their destination.
I've heard about those long early morning bus rides.
Yes. So we try to rent very comfortable buses with actual restrooms there, mm-hmm. and we provide breakfast for them. We provide backpacks and teddy bears, and just make it a very, very pleasant and happy
Some
day
the kids
for
are
them.
Very young, right?
Yes, I have seen babies,
mm-hmm.
Newborns almost. I'm like, wow.
And you go down to Chowchilla?
We go to Chowchilla. Mm-hmm. We go to St. Quentin. We go to High Desert, which is in Susanville.
Yeah, wow. That's a ride.
Yes. And for those long trips, we actually rent motels rooms for them.
Uh-huh.
That way, it's a 2-day event. Actually, a 3-day because we leave on a Friday, come back until a Sunday.
Wow.
So it's beautiful. It's beautiful to provide that service to our families.
Right.
And oftentimes, you know, they don't want to talk about it.
Sure.
But then that brings an opportunity for them to bond with others who are going through the same.
Yeah, I think that's, I don't know if it's as important, but it's certainly an important aspect of it. In addition to visiting the parent, the fact that they see they're not alone in this, because when they go off to school and stuff, they may feel like, well, where's your dad? Where's your mom? How come grandma's taking you to school? And it's real hard to say, well, my dad's in prison or my mom's in prison.
Right. You know, it's hard for them to talk about, especially like you said, the children.
Yeah.
So we try to do the events on the weekends, or just make it comfortable for everyone. And it's a win-win. The parent who is inside the prison has this opportunity to spend time with their children and grandchildren sometimes.
Yeah, right.
And with their mothers. You know, because grandma's taking the little ones, so with their wives. So it's just brings a great impact. Once they're released, then they have that strong bond and relationship to come back home to.
And it was founded by a nun in Southern California, I think.
Suzanne.
Yeah. What was her name?
Sister Suzanne.
Wow.
Yeah, back in in 1999, when she had her first visit with the women in Chowchilla, and then the first actual Get on the Bus event was in 2000.
Wow.
Yeah.
And it's not a Catholic event. It's for everybody.
Right.
As almost every Catholic social service program that we have is for everybody.
That's right. It's open to everybody.
Right.
We don't ask what religion. No,
right.
I say we're people of faith and we're here to help.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Well, we're having you on today. First off, 40 Days for Life has just concluded.
That's right.
Fall campaign. We talked to Sean Carney last week, one of the founders of 40 Days for Life, and now the CEO or executive director or whatever his title is, president maybe, oh. And just a really interesting guy. Tell us a little bit about 40 Days for Life and how it went this time.
It went wonderful. I do want to share the wonderful news. Here in the National 40 Days for Life reports, it states that 454 babies were saved from abortion this campaign, and three of those from Sacramento.
Wow.
And that we know of, because sometimes...
Because you know of.
Yeah, because we know that three were saved because we were there present and praying for them. And then what about the woman who we don't know that changed her mind, right?
I've said before, I bet you need to multiply that number probably by 10 or maybe even more, mm-hmm. because I've said this many times. If I were in that situation and was driving there to have an abortion or taking somebody to have an abortion, and I feel very blessed that I've never been in that situation, but if I were, for some reason, there I was, and I encountered you folks out there praying the rosary, I just keep on driving. I don't think I'd stop and say, you changed my life, mm-hmm. but I just keep on driving. And that's a save that you don't know about.
That's right. Yeah. That's correct.
Yeah. And I think there are a lot of those.
Yes, I believe that too. Yeah. I believe that too. Being out there, being present, praying, fasting, the Lord does great work. Yeah. And just our presence there, it makes a huge impact.
Indeed.
I don't want to stress that a lot.
403. I mean, I've talked to people who have been on the sidewalk for years and said, no, I never had a save, but Helen did, you know, and then they're all excited about it. And I mean, I can't imagine when that actually happens. And it'd be very interesting, because 40 Days for Life has been going on about 10 years or so now. And you multiply that all out, and, you know, those kids are in the fifth grade now.
Right. If you think about it. Yeah. Yeah.
Pretty soon they're going to be in college.
And they're the pro-life generation.
A pro-life generation, indeed.
That is correct. And want to continue to encourage all of you listeners to continue to pray, to be out there in the sidewalks. Just because 40 Days for Life, the campaign has concluded, doesn't mean we stop praying for the end of abortion. We continue to pray year round for an end of abortion, to be outside of those abortion clinics, to be present, to be praying makes a huge difference.
Explain when and where.
Yes, Wednesdays. Every Wednesday outside of the Planned Parenthood on 19th and B Street.
29th and B.
And 29th and B Street.
Yep. Yep.
There's an abortion clinic there who does abortions up to 24 weeks of pregnancy. So being present there from 8 to 11, that's the specific time to be there from 8 to 11. 29th Street and B in Sacramento. Right. Also, Thursday mornings, the Family Planning Associates abortion business, which is that's where we're at during the 40 Days for Life campaign, which is on Butano Drive, 2322 Butano Drive, from 8 to 11. So it's busy. There's a lot of surgical abortions on Thursdays all day long. So we want to expand the hours there. Right now we're there from 8 to 11.
Mm-hmm.
But we want to expand those hours until, you know, 8 to 5. So that's why it's important to create a Respect Life committee at your parish.
Right.
To organize, right? To organize and dedicate a day and a time to be there.
Right.
You know, there's parishes that, you know, they go specifically Wednesdays.
Right.
From this time, 2 hours block time, and they commit to that time. It makes a huge impact.
Exactly.
Because even the clergy, your pastor can also be there.
Sure.
And join you. So having a point person to contact and to recruit at your parish, to announce after Mass, to put in the bulletin, the more we talk about it, the more awareness, more people get involved. So
have you noticed that? Do we get people mm-hmm. other than Catholic to come out.
Yes, yes.
Which
yes.
is real important, I think.
Mm-hmm. For sure, for sure. As people of faith, right? Our Lord Jesus, Savior of all. Yeah. So we invite everyone.
Jesus yes. prayed that we would all be one.
Amen.
Jesus usually gets his way. This may be the issue that unites us.
That's right. Yeah. That is so, that's a good point, Bob. That is true. So please just be there.
Yes.
Yes. Be there.
It's
be
not
there.
Confrontational. It's
no,
not.
It's very peaceful.
It's very peaceful. And
I've
prayerful.
Taken my 2-year-old daughter, yeah. and you know,
I took my kids when they were very young, and yeah. they thoroughly enjoyed it.
Exactly.
And I think having the kids' presence there is also has a profound effect.
It does. It sure does. I yeah. think it brings again that awareness of, you know, the baby inside my womb will one day be the
with
size
this.
Of yeah, the, yeah exactly.
exactly.
So it's just bringing that awareness is so important. So that's the main thing I wanted to share about
right.
the just to continue to pray
exactly.
to not stop praying.
Right. Mm-hmm. And then the Rachel's Vineyard retreat weekends.
Yes.
Coming up.
Yes. Here at the diocese, it's the Rachel's Vineyard mm-hmm. weekend retreats, and we have our Spanish one coming up in
okay.
November, the weekend before Thanksgiving, November 22nd through the 24th. So
this will be at the Mercy Center in Auburn?
I don't know the location, but Paula here at the diocese, she can give you more details about locations.
Right.
So this is going to be in Spanish, but mm-hmm. there's another one coming up. There's usually two in Spanish and two in English.
Right, each year.
Each year, yeah. That's right. So to conclude the 2019 year, it's going to be in Spanish, November 22nd mm-hmm. through the 24th. And again, it's a weekend-long retreat.
And people should know that calling to inquire for yourself or for someone else and your participation, everything's kept in strictest confidence.
Yes, all confidential.
Right.
Yes, it's all confidential. And it's open to women who have had an abortion, also to men who have been
right.
affected, and even just family members, grandparents.
Sometimes, yeah, sometimes couples will come. I remember one of the most memorable shows we ever did a number of years ago. We had a husband and wife came on who had been through it and how it just really transformed their lives, deepened their faith, just the remarkable healing that they had experienced from Rachel's Vineyard as a couple.
That's right. During the retreat, you know, there's different spiritual exercises. There's the sacrament reconciliation. There's a special mass, just a lot of beautiful work that our Lord pours out his mercy and love to all the participants. And just want to share a little testimony of someone who shared that. I want to share, she says, "For the first time in 20 years, mm-hmm. I was able to share my grief, my guilt, my anger. I was able to mourn the loss of my baby. But mostly, I was able to believe that she now lives with Jesus. For a short time, I could almost touch her, hold her, and see her. For this, I will always be grateful. I felt Jesus calling, pulling me back, a feeling I can't forget or deny."
Wow, that's powerful.
That is powerful. And that is the love of our Lord, right? Giving her the opportunity to
see her
child.
"The retreat was a safe place to expose my past and seek reconciliation with my child and with God. Experiencing my wife accept my child as her own refreshes my soul. Our family is now complete." That was from a man, obviously.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. Men and women are welcome to live this retreat.
And it takes a lot for someone to come forward and say, I'm going to do this. But boy, the stories you hear afterwards are really inspiring.
Exactly. Yes, they become you know, pro-life warriors, right?
Right.
And I do also aside from the retreat, there's also a support group at Divine Savior in Orangevale. So it's called Quest, and it's for men. A support group for men who have also who have experience, who's been affected by an abortion experience, and they meet every third Tuesday.
Oh, good.
Every third Tuesday, they meet at Divine Savior, from 6 to 7:30 from 6 to 7:30 p.m. They have a website, questsacramento.org, to get more information. And again, it's no cost, no fees.
Right.
So it's just another opportunity to again, share those feelings and have that support.
I think there, with this issue especially, there's a lot of sort of denial that you don't want to face it. You don't want to deal with it. And and you put it off and you put it off. And but once you take that step forward, it's like confession, I guess, you know, which is available.
That's right.
You know, it's they say confession's good for the soul.
That's right. We are cleansed and renew.
Yeah, right.
We are reborn.
It's what Jesus' sacrifice is all about.
Amen.
You know,
amen.
And you hear, I know people that I've talked to say, that's the one, I can't forgive myself for that. You know, like, but Jesus can.
Yes, he can. Yes.
God can.
Yeah, that's right. His mercy is abundant.
Unfathomable, they say.
That's right. That's right.
You can't even fathom because it's unfathomable.
There you go. For to consider also to sponsoring someone.
Yes.
Because sometimes financial, right, restraints can limit someone from living this
And it is retreat. It is a weekend where it's residential. You spend two nights there, parts of 3 days.
Right, right, exactly. And again, this is for Rachel's Vineyard Weekend Retreat. The cost is $225 per person. But if you feel the calling to support and sponsor a participant with your support economically and also praying for the person.
And if you do want to participate, cost will not be an issue.
That's right.
Right.
That is right. And the number to call is 916-733-0161. You can also email projectrachel@scd.org.
Very good. Very good.
Awesome.
So now, what's on your plate for the rest of the day? What do you do the rest of the week?
Well,
I mean, this was the highlight of your week, being on the Bishop's Hour.
That's right. It's an honor to spread.
It's an honor to have you.
The good work that the diocese and as a church we provide to God's children, right? Another thing that's coming on soon is the Roe versus Wade anniversary in January.
Right.
You know, we're already in November.
Yeah,
so
January 22nd, I believe it is.
Yes.
Yeah.
So mark your calendar. Yes, January 22nd, Bishop Soto will be celebrating Mass at the cathedral.
Right.
So
And then we'll have the Walk for Life in San Francisco in January as well.
January 25th.
Wow.
That's right.
Right after. And of course, they have the granddaddy, as they call it, the March for Life in Washington, D.C.
Yes.
Which usually was on the actual day. And as I recall, last year they moved it to a weekend because they thought it would aid participation.
Okay.
And the one in San Francisco has always been on a Saturday, the Saturday nearest Roe v. Wade, this time a little bit. Like 3 days later.
That's right. Yeah. I encourage everyone, youth, young. I've seen families take their little ones.
Oh yeah,
too,
it's great. You see people in strollers. You see a lot of youth groups, and they show up from, you know, Bakersfield and Fresno and Wairika, and they've got their banner from their parish or their youth group, and they're marching along. It's great to see so many young faces.
That's right.
Yeah, it's really a real celebratory event. It's you know, people are. You know, it's a serious topic, but people are having a good time.
That's right.
You know, they're celebrating life. What better thing to celebrate?
Exactly, exactly. I think that's where the joy comes from, the life. Our Lord is a living God.
Yeah.
So just being among others who believe in the same values and faith as you just brings so much joy and say, I'm not alone in this fight.
Exactly.
Right?
And if you've never gone, it's really a great event. Circle your calendar right now, January 25, and it's a Saturday, guaranteed to be sunshining. And it's San Francisco, which is a beautiful city named after St. Francis. And the march goes right, usually goes right down Market Street, and it's all the Civic Center Plaza, and most many parishes will have a bus. You know, we'll give you a lot of information about that later, but as it gets closer, but which is a great way to go because you're, you know, there's a lot of camaraderie and donuts and you know, a lot of good stuff. People praying the rosary and talking and sharing their faith experience, and then. Some of them come back and have a spaghetti feed or something with the Knights of Columbus afterwards. And but if you don't want to take a bus, or maybe you're going to spend the night in San Francisco, there's plenty of parking right under the Civic Center Plaza. Very reasonably priced. Hard to park in San Francisco, but for some reason there's a huge parking garage there that's always got spaces. So it's a great event.
It is. It sure is. Yeah. Definitely. And also another beautiful prayer, it's titled Prayer of St. John the Second for Life. Mm-hmm. It's also here available to
St. John, wasn't he a pope?
Yeah, our pope, yes. Yeah. But now our saint, isn't it's just remarkable. We just celebrated all Saints Day. So it's just a treasure of our church to have saints also interceding for us.
And you know, saints that lived during our lifetime.
That's right.
You know, it's great.
It gives us even more courage.
Yes.
Yes. We're all called to be saints and prophets.
We are. Whether we're a declared saint or not, you know, I mean, there are many saints that we don't, I mean, they're saints because they're in heaven, but they haven't been officially stamped by the church as a saint, but they do. They give us great hope and inspiration and example of how to live your life. Some of them are so heroic, though, that it's just like you go, "Wow, I don't know if I could do that." So many of these saints were. I mean, they did pretty heroic stuff.
That's right. And if, like right now that you said that, remind me of St. Mother Teresa, right? Just do the simple things in life.
Yeah, just at one person at a time, one thing. You know, don't worry about saving the world. Just save that person right in front of you.
Right.
That's who God put in your life today.
Right. Do simple things and
do them well.
And they'll be doing well, and they'll be great things.
Yeah.
I think that's like something in that line, right?
Yeah, it makes it a little easier to do, you know, because you look at the world sometimes and you go, it's overwhelming. Where do I start? Because you want to save the world.
That's right.
We're Jacqueline,
longing for peace.
Always a pleasure to have you.
Thank you, Bob.
We'll look forward to seeing you again soon.
Thank you so much.
God bless.
God bless you.
We'll take a quick break here. We'll be back with more on the Bishop's Hour right after this. This portion of the Bishop's Hour is brought to you by a grant from the St. Vincent de Paul Society. Drop by and shop at their thrift store, a beautiful, beautiful thrift store at 2275 Watt Avenue. Open Mondays through Saturdays from 10 to 8 and Sundays from 11 to 6. They also accept donations at the store, donations of furniture, appliances, clothing, books, everyday household items. Your donations help to fund the many projects of the St. Vincent de Paul Society throughout the Diocese of Sacramento. Do such wonderful, wonderful work, and the thrift store is one of the ways they raise the funds to help people throughout the diocese, and also many of their clients are able to access the thrift store for items that they need. You can give them a call. They will come pick it up as well, but you can give them a call. They're at 916-972-1212. And remember, again, the thrift store is open 7 days a week at 2275 Watt Avenue right here in Sacramento. Well, Bishop Soto refers to Christ the King Retreat Center as the jewel of the diocese, and indeed it is. What a beautiful oasis it is. It's located in Citrus Heights, right in the hustle and bustle of the city, and you feel like you're getting away from it all when you turn off the main road and just come into Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center. Christ the King has served Northern California and the Diocese of Sacramento for over 60 years through parish weekend retreats, individual spiritual direction, and a variety of other programs. For information on all the programs that they offer, including residential programs, give them a call. They're at 916-725-4255. 4720, or you can visit them at 6520 Van Maren Lane in Citrus Heights. And we certainly thank the St. Vincent de Paul Society and Christ the King Passionist Retreat Center for their fine and longstanding support of the Bishop's Hour. Welcome back. Appreciate you all being with us here on the Bishop's Hour, and we're pleased to welcome in by phone from the great city of Davis, Vince Nims, the director of the Newman Center at Davis, serving the students at the University of California at Davis. Vince, good day.
Hello, how are you?
Very good. Tell us a little bit about yourself, Vince. How long you been there, and what you were doing prior to that?
Sure. I started in May of this year, full-time, and prior to that, I have a long history of youth and young adult and campus ministry, which includes working for the Diocese of San Jose as their Director of Youth and Young Adult Ministry, as well as the Mission and Ministry Center at St. Mary's College of California,
uh-huh.
and then a variety of parishes throughout the Bay Area of San Francisco.
Sounds like you're a Bay Area guy.
I am originally from Livermore.
Oh, wow.
St. Charles Borromeo is where I was confirmed.
Yes. Yes. Is that Diocese of Oakland?
It is.
Okay.
That's my home diocese, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. You get into the East Bay, and I'm going, well, which diocese is that in? Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
Very good. Well, it's a great town. Lawrence Livermore Lab there.
That's right. Yeah, there are actually two churches out there. One of them is quite old, a historical church over 100 years old.
Really?
And I was raised in the newer parish of mm-hmm. St. Charles, which
what's the name? What's the name of the other parish?
St. Michael's is, uh-huh. is the older parish, yes.
And that's in Livermore as well?
Correct.
Oh, excellent. Excellent. So tell us, what brings you to the Diocese of Sacramento?
Well, you know, I have actually had a long relationship with Deacon Kevin Stasko,
uh-huh.
And he and I had always kept in touch. We started ministry around the same couple years in mm-hmm. our careers, and so we've known each other. And I had kept my eyes open in the area because my wife and I were hoping to move further east into the Central Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, as God would have it, a job that I had looked at in the past, just out of curiosity, at one of the Newman centers became available. And so it felt like the Lord had sort of put the path, the right stepping stones in place to come over here.
Did anybody tell you how strong the north wind blows in Davis?
No, they didn't.
Nobody warned you, huh?
Really? They warned me about the heat first.
Yes, yeah, for sure, yeah.
It does get hot out here, for sure, yeah. But I was raised in Livermore, and that's a pretty hot town.
Yeah,
also,
it's pretty hot, too. Not quite as hot as Davis, but it can get up there, so that's great.
So I feel very pleased being here. It feels like the right fit, and the students here are just wonderful, and there is a lot of work to do here. We're a very active Newman Center, and so... it seems like the right chemistry for where the Newman Center is at right now.
And the Newman Center is located at a great spot at 5th and C Streets in Davis, just about 2 blocks from the campus as the crow flies. If the crow has to walk, it's about 3 blocks. But it's just right there, convenient. It's the old St. James Church, the church I grew up in, that was St. James Parish, just the brick building and the rectory next to it, and mm-hmm. many fond memories in that building. And then when it became the Newman Center, and I was a student there at UC Davis, it was my Newman Center. So
I see.
So
you, like many, remind us of how many people worshipped here.
Yes.
Have been married here, baptized their kids here, and we get visitors all the time who stop by and just want to look at the buildings and reminisce about the old parish.
Yeah, it's funny. I was up the valley a couple of weeks ago visiting a walnut farmer, rice farmer who had attended UC Davis and played football there, and I asked him if he ever gets back there, and he said, oh, once in a while. And he says,
yeah,
my wife and I were married at that church. And I went, you're kidding me.
Yeah,
so
yeah,
yeah, it's a long reach. It really is, and it is such such an iconic, you know, the location number one. I believe Fifth Street, Russell Boulevard is perhaps the busiest street in Davis. Certainly one of the top two or three busiest streets in Davis, and so.
Right.
The number of cars that come by there, and then Central Park is right there where they have the farmers market and all that, and the community church is just across the street. So it's a real gathering spot, and that has been an anchor on that intersection there just forever, just across the street basically from City Hall and from the school district, and it's just a real focal point. And God in his wisdom, you know, it's just the perfect spot for it.
Right. Yeah, the site is really a piece of Davis.
Yes.
It's part of its character. It's part of the community. We get a lot of families that walk by and a lot of students just constantly because of our location. And so it is a lovely spot.
You know, and the interesting thing is, as busy as that intersection is, if you walk one block to the north, you're in one of Davis's oldest, quietest neighborhoods.
Yes, that's right.
It's very.
And we have a blend of local families, mm-hmm. faculty, and staff from UC Davis, as well as students. You know, in apartments, all living you know, very close by. City buildings are just one block away as well. It's really just decades of an interesting dynamic in the town of having this presence here.
So you arrive in May and you roll your sleeves up. What's your first task? Well, how do you tackle some? You get 38,000 students at UC Davis. You've got almost that many faculty, staff, all the people that make the whole campus run. What's your first task?
Well, it's funny you ask. I just explained that to a student yesterday. They asked me what I did on my first day, and I literally just walked around the site. I walked around the grounds just to see, you know, what our property looked like. And it's such a well-used property that has definitely taken a beating over the years.
Right.
We have lots of trees. We have one historic tree, which is over 200 years old, a beautiful oak.
One of those famous valley oaks that we read about in the history books. You know that the valley used to be covered with valley oaks, and then a lot of them got cut down, of course, for farming. But
And then we have a little grove of pine trees as mm-hmm. well. So we have lots to work with there. But it is. It's a weathered location. You know, our buildings are you know, well used, and so part of my task right away was to sort of give the site a bit of a facelift, mm-hmm. try to clean it up a little, and make it visually Catholic and visually active from all three blocks.
Right.
B Street, C Street, and Fifth Street, and mm-hmm. that was one of my first tasks. But the more important thing was really connecting with our students, which is a beautiful job to have, just because we have between 40 and 50 active leaders
mm-hmm.
who are all UC Davis students. And it was really my first step was to get to know the student base here and learn how they work. And they do beautiful work here. They're very committed. And it was really wonderful setting up appointments, having coffee, you know, talking about school, talking about the history of this Newman Center with those people who were already involved.
Mm-hmm.
And that was really the most important thing to do, and certainly not to come in and change everything, but just really honor some of the work that had already been done here, and then look for the things that are missing and how we can take the ministry to the next level. And share that work together.
So do you Do you go out to campus? You wait people to come to you? Do you go out to campus and post flyers? How do you let people know that there's a Newman Center?
Yeah, there's a lot of ways. The traditional, and I would call it old school way, is there are dozens of A-frames all over UC Davis campus where clubs and organizations advertise mm-hmm. their groups. So we are one of those official sanctioned groups.
Right.
We are affiliated in that way with UC Davis. We have to pay for registration. So we can advertise all over campus. They also have numerous flat screen TVs that roll a PowerPoint like commercials for all of the organizations and events.
Right.
Then we also use a slew of social media to get the word out. All of our groups that we have here at Newman have either a Facebook page, an Instagram page, or some kind of platform to get the word out about our ministries and then our website. But we do, the most effective means of reaching out to everybody is connecting face-to-face. And so we do spend a lot of time on campus. We have a weekly mass on campus. We just did adoration on campus in one of the ballrooms. And our presence on campus really results in connecting students to the center mm-hmm. and to the church in general. Mm-hmm.
And it's interesting that on a public campus you can have religious events. You know, I'm certain the way the founders of the Constitution imagined it to be. You know, that you have an equal right to the facilities as any other student group does.
Correct, and by law, all of the organizations mm-hmm. Affiliated with the campus, the faith-based organizations like ours, they are technically driven by the student.
Right.
And so by law, it has to be initiated by a student, and so long as the organization is... the official requests have to come from a student to register us. And so by law, that's what allows us to be on, to use the facilities and be on campus on a regular basis.
So what are the challenges of, did you have a Newman experience in college?
No, I didn't. I went to St. Mary's College in mm-hmm. Moraga, California. So I was at the LaSallian school there.
You were kind of already immersed in Catholic doctrine. Yes. Yeah,
right.
what a beautiful campus that is.
Mm-hmm.
So what sorts of challenges? I mean, I imagine when I was in school and what people are in school now, some of the challenges are similar. Some of them aren't. In fact, I have a daughter now who's a freshman at UC Davis.
Okay.
What are the challenges in bringing those people in?
Well, I think like anything, the busyness. Of everyday life and balancing work and school and social time and whatever other commitments students have is certainly a challenge. I think that is one reason we have something going on here just about every day of the week, and we know that we have to operate that way in order to accommodate schedules.
Mm-hmm.
And they're adults. And they have busy lives, and so that's an important challenge that we face, and we just try to be sensitive to that. I think another bigger challenge, a deeper challenge, is the reality that students will avoid, you know, religion. They'll mm-hmm. avoid a faith-based community because
right.
they want to sort of do that college thing mm-hmm. and experiment and invest in new circles of friends, different circles of friends, and Davis is huge, and so you can be invisible at Davis.
Yes.
And you can take on a new identity and try things you've never done before. And so some people will do that first before they sort of come home. And then, of course, we have students that look for us right away, and they're very anxious to start, you know, connecting with their Catholic community at the college level. But it's certainly a challenge because there are so many options at such a big school.
Yeah, and you're right. You can just kind of disappear. You can remake yourself. Maybe you got into some kind of a stereotype of yourself when you were in high school,
right,
and you couldn't break out of it, and now you're away from home, and it's just a different environment.
Correct, yeah. Now, fortunately, we do have such an active Newman Center here that it's not nearly as large as it could be. Like you said, there are thousands upon thousands of students here. We're guessing, of the 30,000 students here, 35,000, even if 6% of those students, were Catholic, we're not close to reaching that 6%. But fortunately, we can say that we see anywhere between 250 and 500 students a month,
mm-hmm,
on a regular basis.
Right.
And that's good to know. We have 150 kids coming to Mass on Sunday nights at 9 o'clock. We have our Mass at St. James,
right,
at that time. And so that's a beautiful part of what's happening here.
Yeah, we should point out for those that don't know that church is no longer where you hold Mass. It's held at the St. James Parish, but it's specifically a Newman Mass at 9 p.m. on Sundays.
Correct. Yep, that's our official student Mass, and then we also host a weekday Mass on campus, and we use the Memorial Union for those Masses.
And is that every weekday on campus?
Yeah, every Wednesday at 5:10.
Every Wednesday at 5 p.m. in the Memorial Union.
Correct.
Well, that's good. It's good for me to know.
Great. Absolutely.
That's great. And do you generally priests from St. James come out there, or for whoever's
for
available?
Say Mass.
Yeah.
So Father Andreas Emanuele is, mm-hmm, our chaplain,
right,
who is also on the staff at St. James. So,
right.
So he tries to do our Masses as much as possible, and both the Sunday and the Wednesday Mass. And then Father Ray will also do a Mass for us when he's available, and then we bring in other priests to fill in the gaps.
Well, it's really convenient for the students to have it right there at the Memorial Union, right in the center of campus.
Yes, the more we do on campus, the easier it is for students to attend things.
Yeah,
for sure.
Absolutely. Yeah. Talk a little bit. We're with Vince Nims, the director of the Newman Center at University of California at Davis. Talk a little bit about your leadership team there.
Well, the Newman Center here has a sort of a multi-dynamic leadership base. We have a core group of officers that include two or three executives and then five or six officers. They cover publicity, faith formation, communication, treasurer, secretary, and so on. And then we have ministry chair leaders. We call them chairs. And they do all of our various fellowships and ministries. That body altogether is over 40 students. And so it's really, when I got here, it was just a very impressive structure. And I'm still just in awe of the commitment that our students have to,
mm-hmm,
the work that they do. We have various fellowship groups that are led by students. Ministerio Cafe is our Hispanic group. APAC, Asian Pacific Association of Catholics, is our Asian group. Then we have a men's group, a women's group. We have a grad group and professional group. We have a group for freshmen. And then we have our large Newman Nights on Thursdays. We have a liturgy committee. We have a hospitality and facilities committee. And so we function very much like a parish. However, we target students. I mean, that's really what, and it's completely led by students.
Right.
That's really what distinguishes us.
So are you constantly an event planner? Do you get together with other Newman centers? Do you do field trips? Do you plan a lot of events?
Yeah, I'd say events, logistics, and facilities, you know, sort of dominate our time as directors. Mm-hmm. And I'm not the sole director. Roberta Seibert is also our program director.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yes, it's a perpetual motion of logistics. And it's good. It's a movement of the spirit. It's dynamic. We could be here every day of the week, 24/7, but
sure.
We have families as well.
Right.
And so it is full-time work for sure. And we try not to over-program, and we try to focus on retreats, liturgy, and our Newman Nights. Those are our three biggest ministries here.
Mm-hmm.
And then the other ministries are supporting ministries, but they do feed each other back and forth. Our retreats, our Mass, and our Newman Nights help our other ministries grow, and our other ministries help those three very important ministries grow.
Talk a little bit about Newman Nights.
Yeah, Newman Nights are great. We get anywhere around 100 students or more. They occur every Thursday, like from 7 to 9. They always include a meal. And depending on which ministry takes responsibility for the night, will determine what the topic is.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, if the service and social justice team takes responsibility for Newman Night, then the topic will evolve around social justice.
Mm-hmm.
If the men's group takes responsibility for the night, they will come up with topic for the evening, find the speaker, and plan the events for that night. But it is really like a college-level youth group, for lack of a better term.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a youth group. Developmentally, it's definitely a college environment, a university student environment. And I would say it's our magnet night to invite people to. When we meet students, we invite them to Newman Night. When we have people stop by and want to know what we do, we invite them to Mass, we invite them to Newman Night, we invite them to our retreats. And then eventually, if they stay connected, they then sometimes find other ministries as well to be a part of.
So do you get together with Sac State before the Causeway Classic?
Yeah, we do. We do quite a bit with our Newman brothers and sisters in Chico and
uh-huh.
Sacramento. And so, yes, we have lots of fun rivalry and also collaboration that we do together. One example is over the summer, we actually did all of our training of all of our leaders for Chico, Sac State, and Davis Newman. We did our leadership conference together.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so we did our visioning, we did our training together, and then each group, each Newman Center planned specifically for their campus and context. But there's very good teamwork, I think, going on right now between the three Newman Centers.
Oh, that's great. So there are plans at some stage of in the works for not necessarily an expansion, because you're locked into your site there, but it's a pretty good sized site to renovate some of that.
Yes, the the future involves a campaign, and all three Newman centers will be rebuilt.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that will happen over the next anywhere from 3 to 7 years. I would say by, 7 years from now, we'll probably have three brand new Newman centers in all three locations.
Mm-hmm.
In the meantime, we do have to keep our buildings together and still present ourselves like a very active Catholic center.
Yeah.
But the new facilities is, it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful thing to watch happen. Over the next several years, it should include about a 14,000 square foot building, which would have meeting spaces, a large chapel, a multi-purpose center, our offices, our storage, a kitchen, a coffee shop, a basketball court. You know, it's really going to be a state-of-the-art facility.
Boy, that sounds fabulous. It makes me want to go back to school.
Right. Makes me very happy to have this job.
Yes, now. I'll bet. I'll bet. Yeah. I know a lot of people working very hard on that at all three centers. And, you know, the great thing about Chico and Davis and Sac State is they're all located just like right there, right where the campus is. You know, you don't have to go very far off campus. Even though they're all off campus, they're all very, very close to the campus.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. And
I think that presence makes all the difference, because really that's the most effective way to do ministry, is to be in the midst of the community that you serve.
So do you get together with the Newman Center directors from Penn State and Florida State and Oregon and Oregon State and places like that and talk shop?
Well, you know, interestingly enough, there's, from what I can tell across the nation, there's only about one annual gathering that takes place as a Newman Association. We are affiliated with a Newman Association, and they do have an event that takes place every summer.
Mm-hmm.
And I have not yet attended that, but I hope next year to try and get to that so that I can answer that question better. But the Newman community across the nation does exist, and our students sometimes joke that we want to start doing road trips so that we can get a T-shirt from all the different Newman centers across the country.
That's great.
So you never know.
You never know. So do Catholic universities, you mentioned St. Mary's, of course, do they have Newman centers as well, or are they just simply at non-Catholic universities?
That's right. You will only find a Newman Center at a school that is not Catholic.
Right.
In California, you would find them at a UC. You would find them at a state school.
Mm-hmm.
And you would not find them at, say, Santa Clara University or St. Mary's College University Notre Dame Dana Muir.
Right, or USF or on and on and on. Yeah.
That's right. All of those schools have their own campus ministry centers or mission and ministry centers. Yeah.
Would there be a Newman Center at Brigham Young?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know the answer to that. Newman trivia.
It's almost amusing, but it's entirely very possible. I'm actually quite certain that the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints would probably welcome people of faith, of other faiths. I know they, because of their own history, they very much believe in religious tolerance.
Correct. Yeah. Well, and I do believe the church is, the Catholic Church, I'd say, is probably the second largest denomination in Utah.
Oh, it is. Yeah, it is. And our Bishop Emeritus, Bishop Wiegand, of course, was the bishop of the Diocese of Salt Lake, which covered the whole state of Utah. And
right.
I know at his retirement party here in Sacramento a number of years ago, there was a real Mormon presence, people from Salt Lake City coming out or sending messages congratulating him and thanking him for all the great work he did in Salt Lake.
Definitely.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah.
I've been a Catholic musician for years, and mm-hmm. I one of the largest concerts I ever did was in Ogden, Utah.
Oh, well.
Yeah.
There's a big temple in Ogden.
That's right. And there's a large Catholic high school there, which has a large number of Mormon students
attending
in their student body.
Right, yeah. Right. Yeah. And the home of Weber State University there. As well,
yeah.
It's interesting the dynamics of a state like Utah, how it's changed and still obviously dominated by the Mormon Church, but there is a very growing Catholic population in Utah as well.
Sure.
So.
Yep, and the Church of Latter-day Saints, they have a student center here at UC Davis. Right,
yes,
right
they
down
do.
The street.
That's right. Yep. On Russell Boulevard.
Right across the street from campus.
Yep. Yeah, just a little bit up It's funny, as Fifth Street becomes Russell Boulevard, and I don't know why, but it does.
That's right.
And
yeah, you definitely know the town. Yeah,
you'll have to ask the city fathers about that one. But do you get together with the other groups, the Cal Aggie Christian Association, Hillel House, those various groups as well?
Yeah, we have a meeting once a month with the leadership of each Christian center.
Mm-hmm.
And then we are also part of an interfaith community. So we're affiliated with both. It's mostly at the leadership level. That's actually one of my goals, is to try to see some ways that we can have some kind of gathering in the future together, whether it be a crisis response gathering or just a prayer for peace. But in the future, I hope that I can navigate some of those possibilities.
Oh, very good. Well, Vince, if we happen to have any UC Davis students listening, what would you tell them? How do they get a hold of you? How do they join the group? Sometimes it's kind of hard for people. They don't know what the protocol is. You know, they feel like a stranger. How do you, I know you do your best to welcome them. What would you ask them to do?
I think the first thing I would ask them to do is just stop by. We're open from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m. every single day of the week.
Wow.
And now our current offices actually face Fifth Street. And so the easiest thing to do is I would probably say, hey, stop by the Blue House, the Newman House, and come and say hello. And then that would give us a chance to let them know what's going on. I'd also invite them to Mass at St. James at 9 o'clock, because we have fellowship time right after Mass. Everybody just hangs out. We have refreshments, and that's a good way to make connections.
Let's be clear. That's 9 p.m., not 9 a.m. on Sunday.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. That's called college time.
That's right. Some people are just getting up.
That's right. Yeah, and we're just warming up at that point.
Right.
Yeah.
And what?
And then, the history here in Davis, and in most cases, is that the best connections are made in relationships. And our doors are always open, and that's what we try to tell students. You can come by here anytime and just connect, meet somebody, find out what's going on, and... And it's a student center, so it is literally a walk-in facility that you can just. We have couches here; people can study here. We've added picnic benches to our facilities all around the property. People can just read under the trees or in the sun. We just opened up a grotto with a brand new statue from Rosarito, Mexico.
Oh, wow.
A beautiful statue of Our Lady of Guadalupe.
I was just going to make a wild guess that it was probably Our Lady of Guadalupe.
Yes, you nailed it. That's right. In fact, she sits just outside my office, and it's a beautiful prayer grotto. We just opened it about a week ago.
Very good. Very good. And what's the address of the Blue House, the specific address?
That address is 413 Fifth Street.
413 Fifth Street, yeah.
And it's between B and C.
Right.
That's right.
Very good. Well, Vince, it's a pleasure to talk with you, and I'll be sure and drop in and bring my freshman daughter with me.
Yeah. I was going to say, what do we have to do to get your daughter down here? Walk her down.
Donuts.
Ah, okay. We'll do that.
Okay. Donuts and maple bars.
There you go. All right. I'll write it down.
Very good. Vince, a pleasure. Thanks for all the great work you're doing there, and we'll look forward to crossing paths with you again soon. And don't be a stranger. If you got something going on, let the Bishop's Hour know so we get the word out.
Okay. We'll do that for sure, and I appreciate the call.
Great. Thanks, Vince.
All right. God bless.
Yeah, God bless you too. That's Vince Nims, the director of the Newman Center at UC Davis. And, of course, we have Newman Centers at Sacramento State. And we also have Newman Center up at Chico State. Great, great centers right on the edge of campus, all of them.
dream. We bow down and worship him now. How great, how awesome is he? And together we sing.